It's the show that Jabbo has by himself. It's Jabology. One thing that people always tell me that they miss on Jabbo on the Deep is my ability to sing horribly. So here I am again giving you my horrible singing for those of you that want it. What is up? How you guys doing? What's going on? It is me. Whether you call me TJ, asshole, Mr. TJ, Jabbo, whatever, honey, guy, dude, whatever, it's me, and I'm back. For the longest time, I was really huge on consistency. We were killing it. We were killing it. We were fucking murdering it. Jabbology was coming out on time. Jabbo and the Teeb was coming out on time. And like everything was in sync. Everything was working. And then as you guys saw, I fell the fuck off. Just a little bit. A little bit. And normally when we pick back up, I'll go ahead and start off with Jabbo and the Teeb. And I'll tell you guys all the reasons why, you know, things haven't been going the way they were supposed to be going. And it's a show that I share with another individual. So me getting to go into my whole spiel of this is exactly why things didn't happen, it'll eat into so much of the show. And then I was like, wait a second, I have my own fucking show. How about I do that? Yeah. And since I missed the mark for Jabbology last week, and I missed the mark for Jabbo and the Teeb last week, I figured I would go into it and explain everything that's been going on and why. So, getting back to doing what I love doing, because I love doing this. I don't, every time that I miss a mark, or every time that we don't have a show that comes when it's supposed to come, or every time I'm sitting there posting some shit to y'all about, oh, I'm sorry, this is what's happening, it kills me. I hate missing shows. I hate missing shows. And I'm so passionate about this. And real quick, man, to everybody that fucking does this. Like, I know that there's other people in the world that are busy and have shit to do. I get it. But for the people that host podcasts, the ones that have guests, the ones that don't have guests, like taking the time to sit down and create your content creators. Like, all I do is run two shows right now. There's a couple other projects that I do have in development and some things that I can't announce to you guys right now. But the time and dedication that it goes into making making content or creating a show, there's a lot that goes into it, as you know, with everything else. And when you're really, really passionate about the shit that we do, missing those marks, it fucking kills you. Oh, it kills you. So, at the same time, while I'm having my quiet time in the mornings, I'm, you know, sitting there plotting out everything that I got to do for the day. And I'm like, fuck, you know, I need to sit down and record. I need to sit down and record. I need to sit down and record. And then life happens. Well, yesterday, I kind of got upset with life happening. And I'm going to go through all this. I normally don't get to say shit like, well, there's a lot to unpack here. And it actually, there is a lot to unpack, but we're going to walk through this. Just bear with me. And there's going to be some sips and a water in the middle of this shit. I know it sounds terrible for the recording, but it will be all right. So, like I said, I hate missing marks. So hats off to everybody that creates content, especially if this is something that you do, for if it's a way that, you know, you bring in extra cash, if you sustain life this way, more power to you. I do this simply because I love it. I love talking to people. I love interacting with people. I believe that you're constantly in a state of receiving different types of information, whether it's music or talking to someone or watching a movie or reading. And you should always be, I think, in the state to always try to learn something, pick something up. And a lot of that for me comes from talking to people. You, you can't really learn how to live life from reading a book, you know? So it's cool to hear how some people live and different people's stories. And I've always been a fan of that shit. I'm a huge fan of talking. So, like I said, this is a real passion for me. So not sitting down and throwing a record and putting some stuff together, all this shit, it's killed me. It has killed me. But we'll start at the beginning. I kind of touched on it a little bit on Jab on the Teeb. Me and Teeb were going over it, but like now that it's officially been pushed out, and I love and respect my family. First and foremost, I love and respect my family. So I didn't want any members of my family to listen to the show and have to find out, a bunch of shit on the show. So there's always, to make sure that, oh, you're not finding out about my status of my life on Facebook. I'm your fucking kid. Like, that's not cool. So we'll start at the beginning. The whole house, with the exception of me, as far as we know, got COVID. Now, while this is not a rare story, and I'm sure the people that are listening to this have known tons of people that have had it or something, like, yeah, but I'm gonna walk you through mine. Excuse me. So the oldest child, the teen, she's 13, the editor in chief of Unmakeable. So she starts picking up symptoms, and I don't know how bad it is all over the universe, but normally, I guess at one point in time, it was easy to pop in and get a test and find out your results and roll on from there. Well, that's not what happened. There's parts of the story that I'm gonna shorten up, and this is one of them. It took us 3 days to be able to get a test, but eventually the test came back positive. And like, to let you know all the shit we went through to get this test, like, it involved a hospital till fucking like a hospital ER for a couple hours, and then it eventually culminated with us driving like an hour and a half to a clinic just to get a 24-hour test, and even then it took them 48 fucking hours. So like I said, it's crazy. But no, we were about to get into the Rogan show. Is there's a whole, yeah, that's a whole other thing. I'll go into that too. But so the oldest baby has COVID, and immediately, we take all the preventive measures, quarantine, everything else. Well, the thing that sucks is, the old lady starts showing signs. She loses her ability to smell and taste. So I'm like, fuck, here we go. So, going through the whole process of trying to get everybody tested, it's a real pain in the ass, but we'll figure, fuck it, we'll do it. We're showing symptoms, but they're showing symptoms, but we'll do it. So we quarantine everybody in their own separate rooms. I'm upstairs in the studio, of course, so I'm sleeping somewhere between the floor and the couch. The old lady is down in our room, and then the kids are in their rooms. I'm not showing any signs, so either I'm the most blessed dude in the universe, or I'm asymptomatic as fuck. But I was fine. I felt fine. I still feel fine. But I'm thinking, there's a certain number of days that we all have to quarantine, so I'm gonna have to be the floater in the house. I'm gonna be upstairs. Fuck. I'm gonna put this great plan together. Everybody's gonna be on this schedule. We're gonna do breakfast, lunches, and dinners, and I'm gonna serve everybody at the same time, and I'm gonna make store runs exactly when I need to make them, and blah 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 blah. And I'm gonna figure all this shit out, Dave. And in the meantime, I'm gonna be upstairs, and I'm not gonna have to worry about doctor's appointments or school meetings, none of this shit, because the whole house, like, life is on pause. Like, I can sit upstairs and crank out so much shit. It's gonna be fucking badass. I can record, and I'll fit. Yeah. Ambition is a motherfucker. When I tell you, I went into it so positively. Oh man, it was bad enough that the whole house had COVID. So there's that fear that comes with the whole house being sick. And with COVID being so random and everything else, like, immediately right off the rip. So for the first couple of days, my mind is, I'm not a doomsday guy. I will do a worst case scenario, and I'll try to prepare for it. But I'm the only person that's not sick sitting in a house full of, three sick women, and I've got to try to hold shit together. The house is wholly fucking hormonal anyways. So I'm trying to tap into that positivity to keep everything running. So I'm okay, the days that I'm really beat up, I'll crank out content. I even had the idea of doing this COVID journal. Day by day, coming up here, recording for an hour about all the shit I went through for the day, and then just releasing the COVID series once, we were through everything and everybody was fine medically, and my family knew and all that shit, so they weren't fucking listening to the show. But like, oh, really? The whole family's got COVID? Way to go, dick! So yeah, none of that happened. But it was such a clusterfuck. It was such a clusterfuck. I don't, and I'll say this. I am not vaccinated. I personally am not vaccinated. I'm not an anti-vax person. That is not my standpoint. I'm not a pro-vax person. That is also not my standpoint. And I understand that it's all this middle of the road bullshit. This is what I'll tell you. I cannot make decisions, nor will I get behind making a decision that will affect somebody's life so drastically when I'm not the person that has to live said life. I mean, there's certain things that, yeah, but with this one, telling somebody whether or not they need to stick something in their body, that's none of my fucking business. There's things that I feel you should do to protect the people that you love and to protect the people around you, even if you don't give a fuck about the people outside your house. With vaccination, I'll keep it kind of like this. You may not believe in guns. You may not be a firearm person. Second Amendment, whatever else. You may not be a fan. That is a way that people will protect their homes, their businesses. There are people that believe in owning guns. I am one of them. I am a gun owner, and I own a weapon to protect the people in my house. Now, it's your right not to have one. Completely okay with that. All I'm saying is, if you decide not to do that, fine. There's several different ways you can use to protect your home. If you're not a gun guy, just please make sure that you're protecting your home. I think it's the same way with this vaccination thing. If you decide not to get vaccinated, and you can look at your loved ones and you don't feel like rolling the dice with vaccinations, but you want to keep everybody safe, then make sure you're doing everything in the world to keep them safe. Me personally, and I'll go into why I'm not vaccinated. Me personally, I'm not vaccinated. It's not the fact that I don't believe in getting it. My story is a little bit more personal, and it's something that I've touched on. I don't know if I've ever really gone into it, but if you've heard it before, then fuck it. I'm probably about to go into it again, at least give you the broad strokes. But more water. But several years ago, I contracted this really fucking horrible disease. And if you want to look it up, you can. It's a little bit special. It's called Mycobacterial Avium Complex. And pretty much what it was is a really evil ass form of fucking pneumonia that attacked my immune system so bad that I had a 6 centimeter pocket of infection in the lower part of my lung. And this led to me coughing up blood. Anytime I did anything, I would cough up blood for, let's see, ranging from for 15 seconds to maybe about a minute, just coughing, and every time I cough, fresh blood would come up. Anyways, they couldn't figure out exactly what was wrong before we got to the Mycobacterial Avium Complex diagnosis, but until then, they treated my symptoms. So they had to do something to stop the bleeding and all this and everything else. So I pretty much got guinea pigged. Several fucking tests. I got stuck in a hospital for 8 days. Clean air room, like they didn't know if it was tuberculosis, they didn't know if it was HIV, and no matter what I told them about my medical history, they were like, well, fuck it, it's not helping us, we're gonna hit you with everything. So that's exactly what they did. So during this process, I'm receiving, pain medication, which I never fucking take, I'm not a fan. I'm receiving antibiotics, and then they're putting certain medications in me for people that have tuberculosis, and then parts of the HIV cocktail, just to figure out how they could stop certain things. So after poking and prodding on me for 8 days, they finally let me go home, because they didn't solve everything, but what they did was they put a PICC line in my arm. And I know I've at least explained this on a previous show before, but I don't think it's ever been on Jabology. But for those of you who don't know, a PICC line is, it's more or less, they give you a portable IV. And they inserted tubing into the inside of my right arm, and it ran tubing into the ventricles of my heart. And I walked around for 3.5 months. Well, I really couldn't walk around. I was ordered to stay in my house for an hour. Well, excuse me, I was ordered to stay in my house. I could only leave to go like interact in society for about an hour, hour and a half, because they were worried about my immune system. And I was told to leave the house like only like if you fucking have to. But here I am walking around with this really uncool fanny pack filled with a ball of, and I may say this wrong, I believe it was piperacillin-tocin or some shit like that, but an antibiotic that was pumped into my system 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 3.5 months while I'm sitting at home getting fucking huge. So with all this, between the hospital, the house, and everything else, everything that they were giving me was making me sick. It was making me sicker. It was taking care of certain ailments, but then it was boosting others. And in the meantime, like, it was fucking with my eyesight and frying my fucking kidneys. And this is all vaccines and approved medications. And I'm not going to sit here and say that, oh, well, you know, they don't work. And I sat down and talked to my sister. I'm going to have her on this show one day. Me and her have gotten into some really, really good conversations, arguments, discussions, whatever, several different. I'm not going to say we've just, oh, it's always been arguing. We've had several good conversations about being vaccinated, not being vaccinated, everything else. My whole standpoint was, you know, I'm not saying I'm not going to do it. But I don't even, and I keep joking about this, I don't even buy a PlayStation when it first comes out. I'll wait a little bit. Then when the fresh one comes out, then I'll get it. When they're done working out all the kinks. And like I said, I've done all my research and all that kind of stuff. But my whole standpoint was, you know, wait a little bit longer till things are regulated a little bit more. And then we go and get a shot that's got the best ratings and the least amount of reaction for people. I'm Army, dude. I'm old school Army. I was in the military for fucking 6.5 years. Stop loss for fucking a whole year of that. And I worked for the government until my retirement for 13 years and all. So if you've ever been in the military, and I know that some of the guys, girls that listen to this are fucking vets, and you can attest to this. If you're not a needle person or you're not a fucking vaccine person, the military doesn't give anything that resembles a fuck. Like, they will tell you on day one, and here's the thing about it. When you join, well, I'll talk about when I joined the Army. When I joined the Army and I went to Fort Benning, one of the first things they do, and they don't give a motherfuck what time it is, they go through your medical records. So they read through your shit, and then literally, this is how it was for me. You stand in a hallway with a bunch of other really confused, bad haircut having motherfuckers that all smell like fucking pastrami on rye. And the only thing you're doing is rolling up both of your sleeves, because you're walking down a gauntlet of niggas just hitting you in your arms with fucking shots. If you're not a needle fan, this is literally the worst day of your fucking life. And then it culminates with, you know, you get to rub your shoulders and shit. And the thing is, you know, it's like real macho guy bullshit. You know, I went to basic at Fort Benning, so there are no females. So, of course, there's a bunch of macho guy, oh, fuck you, did it hurt? No, nigga, that ain't hurt. I'm the realest nigga around. And inside, you're like, fuck, that burns. But then it culminates with you getting to the end of the hallway, and then they give you a shot in your ass. Not like in the asshole, nothing like that. They give you a shot in your cheek, and it's a thick shot. And it's so thick and cold that you, like, rub your butt and you have to massage it in. And they literally have, half the room is covered in gymnastic mats. Because it's like a 50-50 shot of whether or not people will pass out either from the pain or from getting the shot, period. I didn't. I'm a G. Fuck it up. But, you know, so if you've ever been in the military or anything of that nature, getting fucking vaccinations, shots, all that shit against your fucking will, that happens all the time. You know, and we didn't have a say in that shit back then. And I'm not going to say that I don't think they weren't doing the things that we needed to protect us and the things that I'm not saying that those things didn't work. But I'm an African American male. I don't know exactly how all of that factors in with all the vaccinations and everything else that I've been given over time because of my lineage and all that kind of crazy stuff. But, you know, being on both ends of that whole spectrum, I mean, now that I actually have a choice, I'm not saying that I'm not going to make that choice because vaccines are great, man. There's tons of shit that we don't get the fucking, that we don't have to deal with anymore because we got vaccinated when we were kids, you know, MMR shots and all that kind of crap. But just the choice, you know, I'll never beat anybody the fuck down for not being vaccinated. I'll never beat anybody the fuck up for being vaccinated. It's a personal fucking choice. And like I've said, the one thing I will tell you is this: don't allow this to be some shit that further fucking divides us as people. Like, please, God, don't. One of the biggest things that I have come to learn, and believe it or not, as open-minded as I like to think that I am, one of the biggest things that I had to learn is you can completely exist with somebody and have completely different ideologies. And no matter how bad you may want to connect something to your morals to justify the way that you feel about somebody's decision for some shit, it doesn't always read the same way for everyone. It doesn't. So you not getting vaccinated because you don't believe in, you know, say it's a religious thing, and your God, your toaster, your whatever would smite you for getting a vaccination. As crazy as somebody may think that may be, what the fuck is wrong with respecting that? I'm not coming after your family. I'm not doing any of that shit. I'm not going to talk shit about you. Everybody has a story. And even the P and the thing is, even if you don't have a story, who gives a fuck? Like, if there's that guy out there who's like, I don't give a fuck. Fuck all y'all cats that are vaccinated. I ain't getting vaccinated for shit. I don't care if I give COVID to the world. There are people out there like that. And here's the cool thing: you still got to respect it. You don't have to eat at the same table with these people, man. You can dip the fuck off, walk somewhere, you know, but don't let, and everyone wants to, oh, it's the government. It's the, I don't know who the fuck it is. More water. There's times that I do believe that there is an agenda to divide and conquer for control. And then sometimes I also believe that people are just assholes. Like, I'd love to believe that human nature is that gangster, but look at all the shit that we've done in the name of much less. So the information is out there. Whether or not to get vaccinated, don't get vaccinated. At the very least, you know, wear your mask, shit like that. It's wearing a mask, man. People put up with way, like, I look at it this way. I always equate just different shit. Always, my thing is, and this is why I think me and Teeb get along so well. I'm like, dude, dedication is dedication. Drive is drive. Everything is the same. You just add it towards a different goal. It's like, and what I mean is this: oh man, I don't want to fucking suffer wearing this fucking mask. This fucking sucks. I have to, oh man, I have to put it on when I go in a store and take it off when I get in the car. It's such an annoying thing. You do way more annoying shit than put a fucking mask on your face. Dude, if you smoke, get the fuck out of here. Eat a dick. Like, if you smoke in a car, you don't get to be involved in the mask conversation. Shut the fuck up. Like, you don't. I don't smoke. I smoke occasionally. I'm one of those people. It's like, oh, you know, hey, we know we're having a good time. Maybe there's a drink or weed, a cigarette, some shit like that, maybe. But not enough to ignorantly stand there and be like, oh, well, me fucking not infecting the world. And fuck you. Like, people that, I'm opinionated about certain shit. Like, people that fucking smoke in the car with their kids in the car with the windows up, man, you should be fucking throat chopped. You are the bane of the world. But, you know, like I said, bottom line, do what you do to perfect to protect your family. I always tell people, do what you can afford, man. Do what the fuck you can afford. Do exactly what the fuck you can afford. And at the same time, man, don't, like I said, there's enough reasons that we don't like each other. Please don't fucking let this be like reason 9,000. Just don't. Okay, so anyways. So back to everybody being sick and me not achieving my dream of recording a fucking thing. So then you don't realize how much you value interaction until you don't have it anymore. And I know that sounds really crazy, but like I know it sounds like I go a lot of places and do a lot of shit, but I don't. Like I mean, there's things that I do with my family, and there's traveling that I do, and I do love going out and talking to people, but in the middle of COVID is not exactly something that you could jump up and do readily. So at least you have the members of your family around and you interact with them, and we're big on doing shit with the kids, me and my old lady. You know, we go kayaking and we interact with other people that have children, and all this kind of got, slowed down to a dramatic crawl with COVID. But at least, we all still had each other. You know, kids coming home from school, and we're all able to sit down at the table at dinner together, and we have a no cell phone at the table rule, and sometimes we keep to it actually, but like we'll all sit down and eat together and share the elements of our day, which I think is so fucking important, man. Like it is so fucking important. I think that's one of the reasons why, with COVID and everybody being quarantined and no one being allowed to leave the house, I think it shifted the fucking family demographic so bad. I think it was a good thing and it was a bad thing. We are so removed from having those good, pure relationships. And I've talked about this before. We're a microwave society. We want everything right there at our fingertips. Like, you can literally write a dissertation on world peace and use nothing but your phone to be able to give you all the research you need to do it. And it's a good thing, but sometimes it's a bad thing as well. Like, the day of the house phone is dead, man. Like, you'd leave your house, and not talk to your husband or wife for 8, 9 hours and have a full day of work, and then come home and sit down with your family at dinner and you would have conversations. You haven't seen these people in 8 hours. You've missed these people. There were no selfies. There's no, shoot you a quick text message. None of that shit. Well, back in the days that I'm talking about, I'm old as fuck, dude. Like, I'm 42. It's the oldest I've ever been. Like, when I was a kid and cell phones first came on the fucking scene, dude, if you had a cell phone, like, well, first of all, they weren't cell, they were mobile. They were like the size of fucking VCRs and they went in your car. My parents were baller as fuck. So yeah, we had one, but that bitch only got used like once a quarter. And it better have been a fucking emergency. Like, everybody in the house better have had cancer, just got shot by fucking the Taliban, and a plane landed in the middle of our fucking house. And there have, like, and even then, that phone call better have stayed under fucking 2 minutes. You better tell who, whatever fucking response team, all that shit. Hey, nigga. Plane, Taliban, cancer, gun, dead. And you better hope that them and you better hope you get the address in there. So we're talking so long ago that, like, yeah, so my point is you actually got to miss people. You had shit to talk about. Like, you don't have that now. There's parents out there and there's friends and family out there. You don't even have to call people to find out how they're doing anymore, man. Fuck that. Log on to Facebook. Fuck that. Jump on Instagram, man. Oh, how's my brother doing? The one I never talked to? Ah, man, I'll peep that nigga on Facebook. He's doing good. He's living his best life. He ain't going back and forth with you niggas. That's sad. That's very, very sad. But you didn't, although we were all still in the same house, you don't realize how big not having that interaction is. So that interaction goes from, hey, what's up? How are you doing? How's your day? Hearing about your weird ass fucking third grade friends, or hearing about your weird ass fucking high school class, like all that's been removed now. And it's now more of a, it almost feels like I was a warden and I was serving prisoners that didn't deserve to be in fucking prison. It was so weird. So, even simple things like, hugs, and I'm a big dude. I'm a big dude. There's all of my kids, and I'll explain this. Maybe for the first time in history, anybody's actually listening. I've only been married once. During my first marriage, my wife at the time, she had three children. They became my children. My girlfriend right now, there's two children, and we are raising those children together. So these are all of my children. I'm 6'5", dude. So I'm used to having kids climb on me, and like I'll have a whole conversation. And at any point in time in my life, like matter of fact, the other day, we actually were able to get out of the house and we went and sat in dinner. And Miss Unmakeable, like, we're all sitting there in the middle of dinner and she just gets off her chair and comes and climbs in the middle of my lap and curls up like a ball while I'm sitting there having a full-blown conversation. This is shit that I'm used to. But when you go from having that interaction, you know, hugs and kisses and climbing on people and all that kind of shit, like every day to not having it at all, it changes a lot of shit. And then explaining that to kids is hard, you know. And then even more interesting, if you've listened to the show, you know the current state that my other half is in. So explaining it to her sometimes, although she knows that, is also hard as well. I'm not going to give you all that. You're going to do the legwork. So for what? We staggered it out a little bit. So for the better part of, I'd say about 2.5 weeks, maybe about 2.5 weeks, this was our existence. So cares and concerns became a little bit deeper. Things that had gotten pushed to the top of the important list now had gotten completely rearranged. Fear factor had set in, man. You know, looking to make sure that the kids are okay, looking to make sure the old lady is okay, you know, possibly losing my mind. And you guys rode through it with me. You know, you got to read some of my Twitter posts. You know, I even joked about, you know, sitting here serving these white people, these motherfuckers think like it's the 1800s, you know, pretty much had bells ringing every time motherfuckers wanted something. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with being in that spot and doing stuff for your family, but with all the factors that were added up together, you know, the no human interaction, the kids not getting out to see any of their friends, not interacting with their mom, not interacting with me, pretty much like staying in your room, watching whatever the fuck is streaming on TV, you know, being on lockdown, your mentality fucking changes. Your mentality greatly changes. Like, and if you have not been through any of this shit, I can tell you now, we were blessed because our situation, it fucking sucked. Don't get me wrong, but it could have completely been a lot worse. But I've lived through that part. But even on like lighter sides, when I went from being a complete civilian to joining the army, and when I went to basic training, I always tell people, dude, I've never been to fucking prison. I've never been to jail for a stretch, but basic was probably pretty fucking close. Like, your mentality from being able to do whatever the fuck you want, whenever the fuck you want it, having that freedom to get up and go, changing that to you're getting yelled at, you're waking up at this time, you're being force-fed at this time, you're going running at this time, you're coming back at this time, you're cleaning all day until I tell you to fucking stop. And then in a lot of cases, there were cats in here that have fucking drill sergeants yelling at them that they were completely older than. But that demographic changed people's mindset so much to fuck, I don't have freedom anymore. And that was just going to fucking basic training. Like, you're still allowed to call home occasionally. Like, you can still eat candy bars and shit every once in a while. But like, the lifestyle had changed so much, and the freedom to roam and do stuff and interact with people had changed so drastically that it made you completely feel like something else was going on. And the way that people, and nobody really prepared themselves for it. I mean, you kind of prepared yourself for it, but nobody really prepared themselves for it. And to let everybody know how crazy that is, think about it. One of the worst things that they do, like, and they do this in prison, when you're bad in prison, they stick you in solitary confinement. They cut you off from all the other prisoners. They cut you off from your freedoms. You know, you're allowed outside for maybe an hour, 15 minutes, some bullshit, depending on what the fuck you did. But if you are a killer, if you are a rapist, if you fucking blow up a church full, their punishment for people that have been put in prison that are not acting like model citizens, the punishment that they give to people is to isolate them from everyone. So when you put this into play, you're essentially isolating an entire family that's used to interacting all the time. So this played into the mindset of everything, like, really, really heavy. And like I said, nobody really prepared themselves for it. It wasn't something that you're like, oh, well, this is gonna go fucking sideways. Everybody's gonna be stuck in the house and we're all gonna hate each other in 2 or 3 days. This is not something that anybody's ever really ran into before. And here we go, random random mid-recording shout out because I put out the feelers for everything this morning. Shout out to Johnny Browning at Johnny Blue 84, man. Good morning, brah. And I am having fun. I completely am having fun. but your demographic greatly changes. So this all starts to wear on you. You guys, I mean, some of y'all have been through this shit. Some of y'all have completely been through this shit, and I'm preaching to the choir, but this is just me talking about it, my perspective. So a lot of things, like I said, a lot of things that were important had to fall by the wayside. So the first thing that I was leaning into was making sure I could take care of everybody and try to balance that out. Were there some days that I was a complete prick? Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah, that shit wears on you. I mean, I didn't do like the help. Like, I didn't shit no one's food or nothing like that. But I'm just like, really? Really? Everybody, you can't help me out. People just can't coordinate. And it wore on my mind so bad. Because, you know, I try to be as level and even keel as I can. And I try to be a team, dude. I tell the kids and the old lady, I'm like, dude, we're a team, man. We're only as good as the shittiest one of us. And we all love each other enough to make each other less shitty. So, you know, we're only as good as the moving parts. And I think that being bogged down by everything and not being able to get to my creative place and not you know, probably being, you know, a little bit more antsy and just worried all the time, all that kind of shit. It ate away at me at a rate that I really didn't fucking see coming, you know, and I was fine. I'm not going to tell you that, oh, other days I couldn't lift my fucking head up, but I needed to release, man. I needed to cleanse. And one of the biggest things that allows me to do that is record. But sitting down to get everybody in the house quiet or to ask everybody to not need anything for, you know, 30 minutes to an hour seemed fucking stupid, you know? So me coming up here to be able to take the time to record and ask for nobody to fucking scream, you guys shut up with your stupid fucking COVID while I make magic. No, dude, who does that? And then I'd find pockets of time where, you know, when I wasn't trying to be Superman. I'll tell you now, we all work together to make some shit happen. Me being this great fucking hero that saved the house is completely not the narrative. That is not what fucking happened. I sustained life. I made sure that everybody survived, you know, but there was nothing noble about what the fuck I did. There isn't. But in all of my honesty with you guys and all of my talking to you, like, fuck, I've brought you like my dad, my circle, my friends. I tell you about a lot of shit that's going on with me. And I'm real big on people being the best them that they can be. And that comes with a lot of fucking self-discovery, dude. That comes with a lot of finding out things about yourself and things that you like and things that you don't like. And ultimately knowing how to take care of you. You read it all the time. I got a special affinity for fucking, you know, soldiers that go through this, you know, PTSD, mental health things. So it spreads itself out to everybody. To my friends, the guys that follow me on here, the people that listen to the show. And I'll tell you firsthand, I 86, like 80% of the people in my life that were just there. And it wasn't because I didn't love him. It wasn't because I didn't like him. It's because I'm like, dude, I have a family. I have a life. There's things that I need to do. And me constantly trying to keep the attention of 40 billion people and really wonder what the guy, like I said, what the guy that I went to third grade fucking art class, what him and his kids are doing, like, I really don't give a fuck. So I'm going to take that time to strengthen the unit that I have. That being said, if I follow you on Twitter, if I've ever fucking DM'd you, like if you have my phone number, if I've text messaged you, if I've ever sent you any of my art, like I fuck with you, man. Like I completely fuck with you. And the reason why is because there's been that connection. Now, that means I care. I mean, I ain't gonna care about y'all niggas more than I care about myself, but I mean, and that's, you should be selfish in that aspect, but it means that I care. So walking, if I can get up in the morning and give you the, oh God, I'm on my elliptical and my endorphins are speaking through me right now, I can give you the good with the bad. I'm just as human as everybody else, and I also have to let you walk around my mind a little bit. And maybe for people that are having more difficult times, or maybe people that have heard or listened to what I'm saying right now could throw some fucking help my way or just whatever. What I'm looking for is just generally a rotation of love and respect and information and honesty and truth and being transparent, because you don't know if what you're doing is going to help somebody or make them want to help somebody or make them want to do more, make them want to think about stuff. I'm really fucking big on people being okay. We've just seen back to back, what, 2, 3 years of a fucking pandemic, and toss in the fact that America magically decided to hate Asian people, decided to hate blacks, and well, there are those gay people that we hate too, and oh wait, now we're pissed off over fucking voting and we hate Trump. Dude, there's so much. I've said it before, I'll say it again. There's so much poison in the fucking world, dude. Don't be a part of it. Don't be a part of it. So, with me sitting here, still throwing the jokes and shit out there, but telling you, hey, I had my mental health push. What did Bilbo say in Lord of the Rings? I feel that I am butter that's spread too thin over too much bread or some shit like that. This is where I was. So the creative outlets that drive me and everything else were replaced by the need and worry and all that kind of stuff. So I didn't really have my sit back, chill out, and breathe time. And this is just me. As selfish as this shit sounds, this is just me. This isn't even me tapping into the part that was constantly worried about fuck. You hear these stories or you read these articles, or somebody knows somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that, happened with them with COVID. And like I said, if you listen to the show and you read my tweets, I don't write that. Like, I can't make this shit up. My ex-wife died from COVID, from complications of COVID. So having a house full of people with COVID, your worry automatically goes from 0 to 100, but you still have to try to balance it around 50, because you cannot effectively live every single moment of your life in fear. You can't. But for a great stretch of that, I did. I completely did. I had people reach out, and it was really cool. I had people reach out to, make sure everything was good and we were okay. I wasn't in this, crazy pit of despair where I wanted to hurt myself or anything else, but I was exhausted. I was completely exhausted. I was completely worn out, man, down to the nub, to the point where, I had to walk to outside every once in a while and like scream into a shirt, just get that frustration out. Here I am wanting to get on the elliptical because, dude, I don't give a fuck how pissed you are, how pent up you are, how whatever, how much shit you got to get out your system. Working out will fucking take care of all that shit. Trust me, wake up in a really shitty ass bad mood and just want to be mad about everything. Go fucking lift some weights. Go lift weights for 30 fucking minutes. If you can still have the energy to be that fucking pissed, more power to you. Whatever the fuck you're mad about must be that monumental, or your ass ain't lift enough. But it's like I couldn't even do that. I'm still looking at, maybe I had it, maybe I didn't have it, I'm asymptomatic, but if this is a respiratory thing, why the fuck am I about to jump on an elliptical and try to prove to y'all that I can do it? I'll fuck around and die. Who the hell is going to be posting shit then? I promise you. I told Teeb if anything happened to him, I mean, it would suck, but I'd replace that ass. You can't replace the guy that the show is named after. It doesn't work that way. Like when Johnny Carson died or like left the Tonight Show, they stopped calling it the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. They were just like, okay, just call it Tonight Show and throw some other nigga in there. Like Jabalji done by somebody else is not gonna be called Jabalji. I mean, it may be better. I'm not gonna say that somebody can't do this job better than me, but fucking, I mean, it changes the demographic a little bit. God, I love using that word so wrong. But with everything that I went through, I felt the need to struggle to get back to making content. And once everybody in the house started looking like they were taking a turn for the better, and everybody was going to be okay. I focused so hard on, well, dude, why aren't you improving yourself? It's like, yeah, you took some days off to do this shit, but fuck it, the work still got to come. 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 And the crazy thing about it is, it's like I just stopped functioning. I don't know what the fuck happened. I don't know why, but I just stopped fucking functioning. I started to tell myself that I needed to rest, which I probably did, but instead of me saying, hey, rest, bounce back, you're on it, get back to it, you got more fucking ass to kick, wrap your hands around the fucking throat and, rest and you'll get back to it. I started telling myself, I'm tired, I need to rest. And then I kept making excuses as to why to not get up. Well, I don't know if I have it either, then, maybe I just need to chill out for a couple more days. Just let me finish this series and then I'll get up and I'll get back to being proactive. And, there's always social media. There's always Twitter. No matter how lazy you are, you can still pick your fucking phone up and tweet out something funny and, go back to living your life. I don't know if it was fully mental. It might have been physical. And like I said, it may have been the one symptom from being sick. I'm not going to say that I was physically drained, but like I just kept telling myself, tomorrow will be the day. I got to get up and do schoolwork. I'll do it tomorrow, dude. It's a 24-hour thing. I'm not going anywhere. Oh, well, the gym's open all the time. And, once I figure out whether or not I'm fully okay, then I'll go. Everything became a tomorrow. And that's not what I do. That's so not what I do. I've done it for so long. And yeah, my tomorrows really haven't exactly failed me, but it goes completely against what I'm trying to build and what I'm trying to do now. And it felt like I just slipped into this spot where I was safe not being active. And that's not me. That's so not me. And everything inside of me was like, dude, you need to be recording. You need to get the fuck up. There's grass that needs to get cut. There's dishes that need to be done. Like, everybody's out the fucking clear. You should be celebrating the fact that, everybody's bounced back. And I was just so drained. I was just so fucking drained. And, I tried. There was boosts. And to piggyback onto the missed dates for Jabbo and the Teeb, which, yeah, this is Thursday that this is being recorded, and this is Thursday that you're hearing this. Jabbo and the Teeb was supposed to happen yesterday. I have actually sat down with Teeb, and we have recorded, I guess you could say 3 episodes, but me and all this tired as fuck, I missed the mark. I didn't check all my fucking... My didn't cross all my T's and dot my I's, and I allowed myself to drop half of one recording. We put in, I think, like about an hour and 20 minutes of content, and I dropped fucking all of it but 35 minutes. Did the same thing on a fucking second recording after that. Then decided I would get all cute and spontaneous and use an app on my phone to record raw while he and I were out doing stuff, and lost that shit too. So... right now, I still have 2 half segments of Jabbo and the Teeb that I have not edited together, that I have not posted, that I haven't done shit with. And I told Teeb, fuck, man. I was like, this is what's happened with all the recording stuff. And he's like, oh, well, fuck. He never really gives me a hard time when we fucking up. Like, he does occasionally. He's like, oh, well, there you go. You're in your fucking ingenuity. And then he always backs up. He's like, oh, well, never mind. It's not like I do shit. Like, he fucks with me for the sake of fucking with me. But I think he could tell that I was fucking worn the fuck out. And I'm like, dude, I'm sorry. I was like, I have no idea how I dropped this. I apologize. You know, no, it's cool, dude. It's cool. I'm like, no, it's not cool. It's really not cool. I look at it this way. I was... scrambling so hard to put something out, I think that part of me forgot that I do this for the complete love of it. I think I got more caught up with, you know, you've been laying on your ass, you can't lift your head, but fuck that, time to get back in a gear. And I wanted to move 9,000 miles an hour and just, you know, record, process, record, make art. I can't even tell you the last time I sat down and cranked out like real art. So because of my inability to get myself right mentally and physically and spiritually, all the balls, man, they just fell. Nothing was in sync anymore. You know, I was juggling, you know, being a dad and being a college student and still having the show. And, you know, there's two or three other big things I have going on. And, you know, and I was, it's always able to, I can balance it. It's okay. But that run of COVID that came through the house and then my mental, physical, and spiritual state afterwards, it just started eroding some of the shit that I had put together. So now we were back to missing marks and deadlines and not recording. And I mean, you guys have heard me talk about Snips. He's my best friend. And, you know, I'm fucking sitting here texting him, telling him how much this shit sucks. And he's got his own shit going on, so, you know, fuck, like, my outlet to be like, dude, everything fucking blows. He's like, yeah, that sucks, but this also sucks, too. And I'm like, shit. So, and I don't tell you any of this. It's not for an excuse. It's not for, oh, please still love me, because, no, I'm human, man. I'm completely human. And for me, having the ability to just break out my equipment and plug in my shit to my computer and sit down and get back to doing what I fucking love doing, you know, just talking and explaining things and walking you guys through stories, getting back to this was part of the process. But I needed to make sure that getting back here was good. There was never any point where I was like, oh, well, I'm stop doing the show and it's too much for me. And, you know, fuck Jabba and the team and screw Jabology. We had a good run, boys. Like, no, that was never the process. That was never my thought. Water. But, you know, my whole thing is I wanted to be able to sit down and come back and have a good conversation with you guys, and to get the therapy of this shit, man. To get the fucking therapy of this. Like, between the amount of money I pay for both the shows to host them, it doesn't come anywhere close to what I'd be paying a fucking shrink to do this. And I guarantee you wouldn't be anywhere near as entertaining. The only bonus is if you heard me saying any of this shit in a shrink's office, and that means there's maybe a HIPAA violation, it's time for daddy to get paid. That's not the case. You guys get to be my shrinks. Thank you. And I know some of y'all niggas are fucked up too, so it's okay. No, I'm playing. But getting back to doing what I love, man, I want to say that it feels like it's been a long ass road. I know it really ain't been that crazy, but when I tell you, as far as like my postings, it's not like I've been gone for 2-3 months. I've been gone way longer than this. I think we're off the mark by like what, a week, but everything that was going on before then, just there was so much added up and so much into it. And if I can fucking sit there and tell y'all that Texas and their abortion ban is bullshit, or I can sit there and fucking tell you about me and my old lady and us going to buy fucking onesies, or I can bring you to my kid's show, or I can DM you and ask you if you're okay, you know, or get up and spout in the good morning, you know, be positive rhetoric, which is completely true. If I can go through all that, man, then at the same time, the purpose of Jabology is being met for me to be able to tell you the ups and the downs, the real shit. Because I figure for the most part that's why y'all fuck with me. I mean, I say funny stuff occasionally, so being able to get back to this and to just sit down and to be able to go over everything that's been going on, I've been fiending to do it. God, I've been fiending to do it. I love this. I can't tell you how much I love this. Neither one of the shows are monetized. We're gonna probably add ad revenue, and that'll change in the future. But this is the one thing that I could do all the time that I could give a fuck less whether or not I get a dime from doing it. Now, if that does happen, that's fantastic. Don't get me wrong. But I love doing this, man. So missing those marks, it felt like hell to me. It really fucking sucked. I put that much love and time and dedication into this. It felt like hell to me. So during the rebuilding period, I had to start slow. I didn't just want to jump up and start fucking recording again and throwing half-ass recordings and missing marks and everything else. And then I was like, wait a second, why the fuck do I have to stick to this Wednesday Friday shit? It's my fucking show. I can drop an episode anytime I want, yoko. So that's what I figured I'd do. But it came back slow. The creativity and everything else. Once I stopped and took a couple breaths, and I kind of stepped outside of myself, and I stepped back, and I got to look at where I was, what I had just come out of, the decisions that I had made, the ferocity at which I had attacked certain things, and the lackadaisical attitude I had taken to other things that I didn't deem were as important. So I had to do some realigning. And once I was able to realign, the things just came flooding back, man. And it felt so good. Like, you've seen my shitty drawings. They're my drawings, and I'm happy. So fuck you. But I got back to sketching, man. Like, I really got back to sketching. Returned to the room with the old lady. So we're back to doing the, lay in bed and, making fun of each other and farting all over the place and shit. And just like little pieces of that alone, and being able to hug the kids and, actually cook dinner and eat with them, or at least see them running in from playing with their friends and grabbing a piece of bacon and running back outside. Like, this is as dumb and simple as this shit sounds. This is a life that I did not have for the better part of what, 2.5, 3 weeks. So it started rebuilding in the areas of my creativity. Like I said, like, I carry a notebook or a sketchbook with me everywhere. Like I said, I need to practice. I suck. But anyways, so the sketching came back, and then I just picked up this. I was like, every day or every couple days, when you're sitting there, you're gonna sketch every day. You're gonna bring that back to yourself. You're gonna look at objects in the room, and you're gonna put stupid googly eyes on them, and that's gonna be your thing. That's gonna be you're gonna come slowly back. And when that happened, and I started drawing again, and I started to get that feeling for being able to crank out and be creative. Once that started flowing again, man, like, oh, it was beautiful. And I try to shout people out every once in a while that, while I was going through some of this shit, or while I was working it out, I try to shout out people that, were kind of there doing their thing, and things that they may have thrown out that fucking motivated me, whatever else. Fucking reluctant butter, I fuck with you so hard. Like, I fuck with your whole corner anyways. But just simple shit like, I believe he's going through an art process himself, and doing 3D stuff and reading about him writing and developing characters and shit like that. Like, this is the type of stuff that I love to see in my feed. It fucking amps me the fuck up. It gets me going. So fucking Butterman, straight up fucking props to you. Reading about you, forming characters and, the 3D fucking Tin Man that you put together and all that kind of shit. Like, for real, there were elements of me specifically reading some of your tweets that I was like, okay, this motherfucker's he's moving something. This is cool. I can read and look at some of the things that he's tapping into creative wise. I'm gonna fuck that one up again. And it started stoking that fire. The people on my line that show up on my timeline that have made me laugh, fucking like, Smoke and his crew, always fucking Randy the Dwarf, you know, just different people, man, just different fucking people, you know, fucking Edward 616, just the guys that I have on my feed, and it, for some reason it seems to be the people that fucking run around in the Odd Pods media crew. Shout out to y'all niggas, by the way. That the people that I have on my timeline, and I know that I've fed my timeline and the people that I follow like good, because seeing the artistic musings of everybody, whether it's, you know, I'm a photographer, or I put together an OnlyFans, or I fucking draw, or I do this, like having that hit my senses in the time that I was attempting to rebuild myself creatively, fucking helped a ton. It helped a fucking shit ton. It was beautiful. Like, when that part of me started getting woke the fuck up again, oh, it was on. It was on. And I mean from every fucking aspect. And I think it was so cool because it's like I felt it coming back. It sounds so dumb, but it, like, although I fucking hate Hulk Hogan, like back in the day when he did that whole Hulkamania thing and started fucking shaking, and no matter how many times you hit him, that motherfucker just kept it riding. It really felt like that. Like, and one of the first things is, like, right off the bat, I always have these stupid voices that I do in my head and all this other kind of shit. And I think when everything hit me back and I started getting that creative wave again, I called T. And I was like, dude, I got this idea. And he's like, oh, this should be fucking good. You, what the fuck idea do you have now? And I'm like, dude, you know, I was watching, you know, The Sopranos because I'm getting geared up for the Many Saints in Newark. I'm like, and this, the whole, you know, they dedicated half of a fucking season to trying to find a gay mobster and kill him. And I'm like, what if, like, I sat down and wrote this fictional book about a gay mobster that meets a black guy in prison and he falls in love with him? I was like, that shit would be fucking hilarious. I was like, and it wouldn't be funny because, like, oh god, they're gay, it's funny. I'm like, it would just be funny because I do this deadpan ass fucking accent, and I just called T, but I'm like, so there I was. I pulled my grilled cheese off the radiator and I stared at Jamal. This wasn't the first time that we had made love, but this is the first time I would have my eyes open and looking directly into his. It was sweaty jungle love, but from that moment, I went from being a wise guy to being a bad boy. So I just had like all these really fucking crazy ass stupid ideas that flooded back to me, and it was amazing, man. Like, it's one of those things where you get your groove back, and you know you got your groove back, and it just feels good to be back there. So for everyone that, you know, on my timeline, you know, Fair Enough, all you people, you know, the Smoke Crew, all of y'all, everybody that I follow that is thrown in, gave me some love, said anything, thank you, completely, thank you. Yeah, for real, all the way around. Like I said, I follow and I fuck with a crew of good people. So thank you guys for bringing me back. As you can tell, me and my family had a huge part to play in that too. There's some pretty gangsta people that stay in this house. But you got to see it. I told you that negative energy that was bringing me down, that was telling me I couldn't do anything, that was keeping me tired, that was stifling my creativity and not allowing me to sit at the head of this house and take care of people and love them properly, like it left, you know. And it's felt so amazing since it happened. I've returned to the fucking elliptical. I was even so amped up that what was it, the second day, first or second day, that I actually recorded a video while I was on that bitch, breathing all over y'all, just thinking that you wanted to hear that shit, just breathing all over y'all, just filled with 9,000 pounds of oomph. But man, it was just a celebration. Like I said, it's not about the fucking numbers for me. It wasn't about nothing else. Like, man, fuck the guy on the left. It was about me getting back to business, you know, being healthy, you know, taking a break, getting that breath, getting my legs back under me and getting back down to fucking business. And like I said, thank you guys. It feels so good that I've been able to do that. And now that I'm sitting here doing this shit again, I can stop telling you all these horrible fucked up stories about all the shit that's been dragging me down. Let's get into other stuff. Motherfucker, like all the wonderful shit that's changed ever since, like I said, I left Twitter for a whole fucking day. Like, I haven't been reading all the feeds the same way that I normally do and everything else, and I've been trying to catch up with Teeb. And like, to let you know how fucking crazy, like, and now that we're back to being solid, just to still let you know how crazy shit is, I'm recording this at what is it, 7:28 Thursday morning. I promise you this will be getting posted today, because after this, like, I gotta get, me and the old lady gotta get the last baby on the bus. Fucking my homeboy Rock Rogers, you've had the pleasure of meeting him through an episode of this show. Fucking, he just got a new place. Congratulations to that motherfucker, doing big things. So I get to go help him move. Then I get to come back here. Still got to put together the finishing touches on some other projects that I'm working on. Still got some house shit going. Because for some reason, right after fucking COVID happens, me and the old lady is like, well, I want to pressure wash the house. What the fuck? Like, you don't want to chill for a couple days. You don't, like, want to go to a cabin and chill out and breathe in the woods. Like, you don't want to smoke, like, a shit ton of fucking sage and fucking purify the house. You want to fucking clean siding. So we went out to fucking Snips, grabbed the pressure washer and brought that back. So that's supposed to be happening today, man. Like, there's a lot of things. And then I already hollered at T, but he's got a plan for us to record tonight. If we can pull off recording tonight and I don't fuck this one up, then it'll be weird, because you'll get a Jabology on Thursday, then you'll get a Jabbo and the Teeb on fucking Friday, and then just for shits and giggles, I'll probably record some more, just because I really need to get back into the swing of this. The feeling good and being happy and fucking recording, as opposed to, here, let me just get this done. So yeah. And even on top of that, recording with him later on has got to be interweaved in between three women going to get their hair done, and between the recording, the hair situation, and a parent-teacher conference are all happening within, like, the same three-hour block. So this shit should be fun. Like, I'm glad that I'm closer to being fucking 100%, because now I get to go back to dodging shit like the Matrix. But like I said, it's good to be back, man. I can't complain about the running around and everything else we have to do. Now, if you listen to the last episode of Jabbo and the Teeb, I believe we ended on a wonderful sour note of just finding out that the Dave Chappelle, Joe Rogan stand-up was canceled and rescheduled for October. Literally found out as the show was ending that we were not going to be going to that show. Now, let me explain to you the holy mindfuck about all of this. This, first of all, finally making it to this fucking show will go down in history. Completely because God himself, God herself, the toaster that you pray to, the air, fax numbers, whatever, apparently they don't want us to make it to the show. Now, originally the way that this all came about is there's a random group of, like, ex-military air traffic control guys that I hang out with, and we try to get together every once in a while and go do shit. It's me, Snips, it's fucking other dude, weird fucking, we'll call him Lispy. He doesn't lisp anymore, but fuck it. We'll call him Lispy. And my nigga Wood. And used to be T. We all would get together every once in a while and go do outlandish shit. Well, as the story goes, and they will tell you, Teeb is the guy that's like, I'll set it up and then leave. So he's like, hey, let's go to this concert, and then I'm not going to show up. Now, we give him grief over it. Like, it did involve his significant other's father dying, and there was a memorial. I mean, we give him shit for it just because we can, but then we developed this pattern of everybody would hang out, and every time we asked him, he didn't go. So, you know, when it came to the Chappelle show and everything, initially everybody was like, "Oh, dude, are we gonna invite T?" But I'm like, "Yeah, why wouldn't we?" And they're like, "Well, you know, he's not gonna show up." I'm like, "Here we fucking go with this shit." So then it became this huge, should we invite him? Should we not invite him? He's not gonna show up anyways. And then he was like, you know, we invited him. He was like, "Hell yeah, I'm gonna go." So then it was like, okay, so now we got the band back together. Like, this literally, the group of people that we're gonna hang out with, we used to pal around all the time when we worked together, but this was like a good about 2, 3 years ago. But like, some of these people haven't physically seen each other in a year, which is really fucking weird because they all work roughly at the same fucking military base. It's so hard to randomly explain, but anyways. So we had that lineup locked down. And then one person had to drop out, and then we were like, okay, well, this person's gone. Are we going to fill it with somebody else? So then we decided to go ahead and sell another ticket that we had already bought to somebody else so they could go with us. That person ended up having a fucking, was like, okay, cool, we're going to ride. So then another, well, then Snips decided he had to drop out for some bullshit. So the lineup for the people that have been going to this show has been fluctuating like the fucking cock of a really happy fucking 16-year-old when he first discovers fucking Pornhub. Shit, dude, it shit's up and down like the stock market. So, like, eventually we get to the point where we're like, okay, we kind of got a lineup of the people that we're going, but we're not sure. And it took a lot of fucking blood, sweat, and tears to get there. Just for the culmination to be, it wasn't happening at all. Now. We sat down at dinner with these with probably the entire cast of people that are going during our now COVID-free freedom. Well, personal COVID-free freedom. But when we get there and we sit down at dinner and I'm talking to Lispy and Lispy looks at me and he's just like, "Dude, who the fuck is going to this show?" And I'm like, "Dude, I don't even know." Like, I'm at the point where I don't give a shit. Like, as long as I get to go, I literally don't give a fuck if anyone else I know is in that building. It's like, I don't know. I have this feeling that me seeing Dave Chappelle is going to be, I don't know. It's just, I feel like something's going to happen there. I'm not saying that I'm going to go and I'm going to meet Dave Chappelle and he's going to be like, "Oh shit, you're funny as hell. You want to come kick it with me?" I'm not saying none of that shit's going to happen. But I think there's, I look at Dave Chappelle as a black artist and a comedian, you know, in a certain vein. And he is probably, to be completely honest, probably gonna be in my lifetime, probably be the biggest black comedian, probably next to Eddie Murphy, as far as that legendary status. So being in the room with Dave Chappelle, yeah, it's going to be about, you know, hearing his new material and getting a laugh and, you know, just being able to go to a comedy show of that caliber. And I'm not completely knocking Rogan. Like, I'll fuck with Rogan, but not for comedy. I mean, yeah, it's cool that he's going to be there, but I mean, just seeing Rogan will be cool. But anyways, but being in the room, watching Chappelle hone his craft and just doing what he does, like, I really wanted to make it there. It's going to be a huge ordeal for me. So the very last thing that I was trying to hear was some bullshit about, "Oh, well, we can't figure out who all the hell's going to this show." And yeah, okay, I don't care who is going, daddy will be there. And that's been my standpoint. So as of right now, this should be some interesting shit to talk about too. All right, let's see what else has been going on. Oh, I'm gonna go ahead and do this. I'm probably gonna do it on both shows. It's probably gonna come back to bite me in the ass, and I probably don't care. If you listen to Jabbo and the T, there's two things that you know. That A, fantasy football season is huge between me and this moron. And two, I don't give a shit. I could lose to anybody in the universe, but I hate losing to T. I hate losing to that guy. And the only reason, like, it's not just the fact that, like, it's like, "Oh, we're uber." He acts like he's not uber competitive, but I tell you right now, the day of the putt-putt golf tournament that we had, he was so lackadaisical and laid back till I fucked around and showed him that I won't for no play. I brought it. I brought the thunder. And to be completely honest, there's still a little bit of gray area about that game, but I brought it, and he gets all competitive and shit. So right from the jump, And I still know nothing about football, which is a complete disgrace, I'm sure, but I still don't know jack shit about football. And I still know that losing to him in fantasy makes me want to fucking punch children. So, I'm happy to report that the first game of our league has been played. No, the first game of our league season has been played. And that the Taint Painted Shays, which is my team, we are currently in third place. We're holding a nice 1-0 record, and it was nice enough of old Tebanitis to be the one to give us that W. It wasn't close. No, it was not close. It wasn't anywhere near the realm of close. The cool thing about it is I love, and I mean, I give him a lot of shit, but I love and I respect Teeb as a friend. I love and I respect him as a competitor and everything else. And there is no way in the world that I would sit here and, to be completely honest, there's no way in the world I'd sit here and completely gloat my ass off over fucking me beating him and the score and all that kind of shit. Now, that being said, I beat this nigga 136.76 to 90.36. He's the commissioner of the league, and he always pulls some shit off at the end of everything. But for the first game in, I start out in third. This fool starts out in 10th. I need to hold on to this because it might have been a little bit of a fluke. But no, we don't care. Plus, I'll tell you right now, no matter how many damn times I tell that fool, he is not going to listen to this. He will lie to me and be, oh, yeah, it was pretty good to listen to it. I'm like, oh, did you miss the 2.5 minutes of me just bashing how shitty you are at fantasy and how I crush your ass and your skull and then crush your ass again? And the fucked up thing, I'll tell him. I'm like, oh, so, you know, you should listen to Ninja Balls. He'll be like, I'll get around to it. I'll give her a gander. And I'm like, nigga, no, you won't. He'll be like, oh, no, I'm a man of my word. I'll listen to it. And the thing is, if I don't press, I know he won't. But if I'm like, yeah, wait till you get to fucking minute 325, he's the type of asshole that'll go straight to 325, see what the fuck I have to say, and then keep it moving. So I actually thought about just randomly getting chunks of this recording and be like, dude, man, wait till you get to 5:27, 2:23, 4:09, just start throwing numbers at him to essentially make him listen to big enough chunks of this shit that he has to go through all of it. But yeah, if you listen to this, which I'm sure you won't, I crushed Teeb's punk ass. Crushed it in some fantasy. I could lose every other game and I wouldn't care because no matter what, the fact that I beat him sits. I could lose the rest of the games of the year except for, no matter of fact, I could lose the rest of the games of him. And I'd be like, yep, I finished dead last, but guess whose ass I whooped? The one person who I fucked up, you. And I did it first. Just to talk shit. But I love it. I love doing this, man. I love talking shit. I love coming in and I love giving team crap and I love pulling people to the fire for listening to the show. I don't know if I'm gonna keep any fucking schedule for the next episode, man. I'd love to say that I'm going to go ahead and record a jab on the team tonight and then post jab on the team on Friday and then we'll get back to the run. No, I'm just really feeling so good right now, man. Like, I'm trying to find more ways to put out more content. Like, I even thought about, you know, doing a whole thing where I record with me and old Tebus in the car and post those on the fly, maybe on Anchor. Don't make it to Spotify, something like that. But, you know, we're still working out the kinks. I'm about to go in for some water again. Trying to think, anything else going on, shit I got coming up? Things are going on in the world, fuck. We'll probably have a whole shebang about this abortion bullshit that's gonna walk, but in particular I did want to say to the people that we have lost this year, celebrity-wise, once again, that have completely fucking sucked, Norm MacDonald and Michael K. Williams. You're born to die, it's what happens, but it's always kind of shitty when somebody that has touched you artistically or shown you a part of their talent or kind of entertained you. It kind of sucks when that light kind of gets snuffed out, no matter what the reason. So, dude, I fuck with Norm Macdonald and Dirty Work. It's one of my favorite fucking movies. It's so slept on. It's so slept on. And that man's delivery for things were amazing. And if you really doubted that man's ability to be funny, like, fuck, the moth joke. Just Google the moth joke. And you'll completely be like, what the fuck? But it gives you, like, a complete run of how his humor was. Or you could go and watch Dirty Work or watch some of the stuff on Saturday Night Live. Also, Michael K. Williams, man. Fuck, dude. Oh, man. Omar fucking Little. One of, I think, the greatest characters ever portrayed in any medium. The LGBT, the LGBTQ plus whatever, I'm fucking it up, the Alphabet Mafia community. I think that was a huge kick for them. I think he was a fantastic actor. Two of my favorite roles of his, other than Omar, well, Omar is one of them. I completely loved him as Chalky White, Boardwalk Empire. So that was a pretty heavy loss to the artistic world. We're pushing on, man. We're moving on. And like I said, now that I'm back to creating content, I'm gonna get back to those good solid days of, you know, getting that consistency back and posting on the days we're supposed to be posting. But far be it for me to not make sure all of you didn't know why it wasn't happening. And like I said, no, it wasn't an excuse. It wasn't a "what was me." But I, like I said, if I can sit there and tell you about every other fucking thing in the universe, and you can sit there and watch me cook eggs, then you can hear about the ups and downs of what it's like being me and being here, and sometimes the struggles that people have with returning to being healthy. You guys watch out for each other, man. Do more. And I can't say that what you're doing isn't working, because like I said, I've shouted out several people where, you know, whether it was your retweets or, you know, you DMing me on the side and checking in to see if I was okay or whatever else, you know, and even though things weren't that fucking crazy to the point where, you know, I needed constant people checking, it's good to know that people actually give a fuck, man. And we need to keep that going. We completely need to keep that going. I'm still a huge fan of making sure that you're okay mentally and physically and spiritually and everything else. And I'm still a huge fan of paying it forward. Positivity. There's no better fucking drug. There's no better drug. Like I said, you know, a little self-cleaning here and there and things like that bring me back to the forefront. And here I am once again sitting in front of a fucking microphone doing what I love to do. And days ago, I probably would have been scrambling to try to do it and couldn't figure it the fuck out. I would have been pissed off at myself because I couldn't do it. So it works, man. It works. So I'm going to continue to visualize. I'm going to continue to put in the work. And, you know, I'm going to continue to be open for you guys to motivate me. And I'm going to continue to try to motivate you. And before I close this off, because I got a kid that's about to get on the bus, and we have this whole little ritual where we brush our teeth together. It's really fucking weird, but I'm going to miss these moments. Because when she's 16 and all she cares about is like some girl named Rhonda or some nigga named DeQuante, like brushing teeth with dad is not going to be fucking cool anymore. So I'm taking all these moments while I can. But if I have to leave you guys with one thing. First of all, thank you for fucking showing up. I say it so much. I say it always. I say it again. There's nothing more gangster than you guys actually fucking tuning in to listen to all the stuff that I go through and see how many times I can say fuck in a run-on sentence. Thank you for being here for that. But also, the one thing that I could leave you guys with today is fucking stay the course. There's been something on me so hardcore over the last couple of days, and like I keep saying, I don't know who the fuck needs to hear it. It, whatever you were doing, stay with it. It is working. Do not fucking give up. You know, whether it's, you know, bending over backwards to try to make sure your kids are safe or you know, working on a new project or trying to pass that class, or even if, you know, you're in the Army and trying to pass a fucking PT test, or you're about to become an NCO for the first time and you don't know how to lead soldiers, or whatever you are doing, those building blocks that it's taking to push you to that next level, don't give up, man. Investing in you is the only thing that will always give you an 100% return. It always will. It always will. And if you think that just taking care of you and making sure that you're straight and keeping yourself healthy is bad for business, it's fucking not. Because all the people you love benefit. All the people you love benefit. Look at it this way. If you're the only person in the house that knows how to drive a car and you fuck around and break your arm and it's the arm that you use to predominantly fucking drive because you got a stick shift or some shit, you're not going to be able to take anybody anywhere until your arm heals. So you got one of two choices. Either you can try to give somebody a crash course how to drive you around, or you can let your shit heal. You can double tap at the same time, but nobody is going to be okay until you're okay. And as long as everything that you love is not being damaged and not being, you know, ignored and everything else, and in the meantime, while you're trying to put your shit back together, then that's the good part. But helping people and keeping those people in your circle, doing the best that you can to be a better you, I will never back up off that. I will never back up off that. So whatever you're doing, man, day in, day out, that fucking, when you, like with me, when I get on that elliptical, if I can't push past fucking 3 miles, who gives a shit? I've got there. I made it there. I made it to 2 miles and some change. My body wouldn't let me go any further for whatever reason. But if I come back to that same fucking grindstone every day and put forth the best of what I got, I'm still going to get the best results known to man. So don't back up off of that, man. Don't back up off of that. But I'm about to sign this shit the fuck off. I figured it would go a lot longer than it did, but it was good being back. It was good being able to talk to y'all again. I'm literally about to go take a piss, come back, write a quick synopsis, put this up there and say something extremely dorkily clever about, oh, I'm back and podcasters, we do it anywhere and we do it in front of other people or whatever dumb shit I'm going to say. But thank you guys again for signing in, man. I love you. Take care of yourselves. All that good shit. Be peace. Later.